to KBOO Portland.
Support for KBOO comes from its members and from 988 Oregon, a public service helping those who are feeling sad, struggling with alcohol or drug use, or just need someone to talk to. Trained counselors are able to listen and provide support 24/7. Confidential support available by text or phone call to 988. More info at 988oregon.org.
Welcome to Sprouts, radio from the grassroots, a weekly program that showcases radio production by independent community media. We bring local stories to a global audience, produced at a different location every week.
One farmer commented that he grew up having access to the Wapsipinicon River as a young person, fishing and after hard days work on the farm and so on to go and relax. But he said, you know, I didn't think in that time about where that water was coming from or where it was going. But now he does.
Today on Sprouts, the Mississippi Watershed, connecting water and people. I'm Ursula Rudenberg from Pacifica Network.
And I'm Stephanie Schubert from Pacifica Network. We are reporting from the Iowa Nature Summit in Des Moines, Iowa. This conference took place at Drake University in October of 2023. It was a gathering of farmers and environmentalists throughout the state of Iowa. We were at the conference with a grant from the Be Wild, Rewild program, a group of Iowans with a passion for wildness, whose motto is Big River Connectivity. What does Big River Connectivity mean? The Be Wild, Rewild program is specifically talking about the connections in the Mississippi watershed, rivers, wetlands, natural areas, and the people who care about them.
As we interviewed conference goers, we met environmentalists who, in their work, take meaning from Iowa's place in the Mississippi watershed.
So, why the Mississippi watershed?
Well, have you ever actually seen a map of the Mississippi watershed? It's huge, covering 40% of the continental United States, which really brings the vision of Big River Connectivity to life. We start today's show with a conversation about a documentary film sponsored by the Be Wild, Rewild program. The film is called Moved by Waters, produced by the Emmy Award-winning Fourth Wall Films, and is featured at the conference. Mark Edwards from the Be Wild, Rewild program and Kelly Rundle, the film co-director, speak with me before the showing. Here's Kelly.
My wife Tammy and I own and operate Fourth Wall Films, and we're based in Moline, Illinois, on the Mississippi River. We're excited about Moved by Waters. The premise was to show people, setting aside differences they might have, who were all working on water quality issues. When we did our initial research, we felt like we were uncovering a secret network of people and organizations who were all working, doing everything from individual choice to much bigger projects, working the rivers in the region in terms of big cleanup operations, you know, millions of pounds of trash, and an evaluation process, testing water quality, capturing specimens to determine what fish species are thriving in a particular creek, what water bugs or what they call macroinvertebrates, to find out what's the water quality like. And then data gets fed to cities and to the county organizations as they make decisions about what to do and how to improve water quality generally.
Do you incorporate a sense of the power of wildness when you did this movie?
Yeah, of course. That was context for it. And the great cities of the world are all situated on bodies of water, you know. And that's how I feel about the Quad Cities. It wouldn't be the city it is and have the beauty and power that it does without one of the great rivers of the world flowing through it. You know, I grew up at a time when the Mississippi River was regarded as kind of treacherous and polluted. But when we returned to the Quad Cities 25 years later, it's cleaner. One indication of that was the great white pelican, which was never there when I was growing up. And that's an indication of, you know, a lot of fish. And we have eagles, more eagles than we can count. It's just great to see things headed kind of in the right direction for that incredible landmark that we're lucky enough to live near.
What did you gain from seeing all the work that these people are doing?
Yeah, the national narrative is that we don't agree on anything and we can't get along and we can't get anything done. And that's not true. Especially those things are kind of universally necessary for all of us to live and to have a quality to our life. But what you see in the film is just a little bit of what's happening. There's a lot of it. And I think the reason we don't know about it is because these people are workhorses. They're not show horses. So I think the film will just model a lot of ways that people can do something, whether it's individually with choices that we can make, or if it's joining with others who are working on an important water quality project. I hope so, anyway. One farmer commented that he grew up having access to the Wapsipinicon River as a young person, fishing and after hard days work on the farm and so on to go and relax. But he said, you know, I didn't think in that time about where that water was coming from or where it was going. But now he does. And just knowing your place in a watershed, you know, gives those things that you might do to improve it meaning.
I'm hearing a parallel between the connectivity of the rivers and the water and the connections people are making with each other. Mark Edwards, your thoughts?
I think the watershed concept really illustrates a larger vision of our place and where we live. You know, it's like little tributaries getting to a bigger watershed. If we really understood our place in that river, we would just relate a lot differently to that water. I think that's hard to think that way in a way, but another way, it gives you a sense of your place, like you're just this little water drop moving through, you know, and I think that helps me getting deeper into my relationship to where I live. We always look at it from what are we going to get in terms of recreation, or let's do something to the river for transportation, or let's do something for the railroad to be there along the side, or it's all that kind of human thing. But I'm not sure that really helps us to think that way. You know, and we look at the river from a human perspective, but the river has its own life.
This is Stephanie Schubert for Pacifica Radio, reporting from the Iowa Nature Summit in Des Moines, Iowa. That was Mark Edwards from the Be Wild, Rewild program, together with Kelly Rundle, co-director and co-producer of the award-winning production company Fourth Wall Films. Kelly is at this conference to show Moved by Waters, a film he made with his partner, Tammy Rundle. You can see the film and other works by Fourth Wall Films at www.bewildrewild.org. Moved by Waters is sponsored and being presented at the conference by the Be Wild Rewild program. After the first showing of the film, Ursula Rudenberg and I speak with Roger Gipple, co-founder of the Be Wild Rewild program, to get a better understanding of their vision.
Be Wild Rewild is just a loosely knit group of volunteers with a passion for wildness. When I started doing this work, we called it Wild Iowa Discovery because we were thinking about rewilding in Iowa. But I realized we have to talk about the watershed. I was talking with Joe McGovern. We were having lunch. He's with the Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation. And he mentioned that we can't stop at the county line. And I got to thinking, and we can't stop at the state line either. And so I looked at the watershed, and I realized this is a huge watershed. It's parts of 32 states. It's 40% of the country. So all of a sudden, it became pretty overwhelming to me. The Mississippi River watershed is one of the largest watersheds in the world. And if you look at Iowa, we're right in the middle of it. And Iowa is an important part of the problem that's being faced by those who live downstream, all the way to the Gulf of Mexico and into the Gulf of Mexico. We're dumping a lot of junk downstream.
Ross, you used the term Big River connectivity. Explain that.
Well, Big River connectivity is our vision for how we can create a wilder, more beautiful, more biologically diverse, and a more enduring Mississippi River watershed. So when I look at the Midwest, I see great potential for connectivity. It's a matter of we need to provide more core habitat areas, allow more habitat along the rivers, have corridors to connect those core habitat areas.
When you say corridors, is that like paths for animals that can go around highways, or what are examples of corridors?
So first you'd have the core habitat areas, which would be a geographical area that had the right kind of habitat for a diverse population of wild things to have healthy breeding populations. Then you need corridors where you allow critters to move back and forth instead of having a situation where they're all related and you get inbreeding. And then we need crossings at human transportation routes and we need to be more willing to coexist with things that are not necessarily predictable and familiar to us. And I say that a big part of understanding wildness is understanding that it is unpredictable and unfamiliar.
So are you interested in connecting with other states that are part of this circle of rewilding? Who would you talk with to keep this process going?
We would talk with anyone who is interested in wildness, in rewilding, and who's interested in a more sustainable or enduring agriculture.
This is Stephanie Schubert for Pacifica Radio, together with Ursula Rudenberg, reporting from the Iowa Nature Summit in Des Moines, Iowa. At this conference, we end up speaking to many people in the hallways and discover a legacy of environmentalists and career conservationists who, over the years, have, indeed, championed the natural world and made a real difference. One of these is Doug Haar, a certified wildlife biologist. Doug worked for the Iowa Department of Natural Resources in Des Moines as coordinator for the Wildlife Diversity Program, which helped repopulate Iowa with animal species that had once been considered extinct to the area. Since his retirement from the DNR, he serves as president of the Iowa Audubon Society, so today his focus is mostly on birds.
You had a conversation with Roger, so you know a little bit what his vision is for building a network of wild areas?
Yes, these connection of wild areas is very important, whether they're hunted or whether they're sanctuaries. But the important thing is to connect all those habitat. There's some western states that are doing that. We need to do that in Iowa. We've got major river corridors we can connect with that are great places for birds and for other kinds of wildlife as well. And now that I'm with Audubon, certainly bird sanctuaries are something that we are really looking into as important too. By connecting all these areas, we have ways that the wildlife can move from area to area and help preserve them over time.
Why is it important to do this in the first place?
Well, when areas are disturbed by a lot of use, whether it's by vehicles or farming, hunting, fishing, whatever it might be, then some of the birds that should be nesting or things that should be living in Iowa, they may move away. They may not be able to reproduce and keep their population stable or growing. I mean, so many things disappeared because of what we did to the environment of this state. And we really have to think about the migratory birds, because so many birds have decreased by almost a third since the 1970s. And it wasn't that we in DNR weren't trying to protect all of them, but of course, so much of the habitat was getting disconnected by more and more development, more and more farming. And so it's really just so important that we try to connect all those areas as best as we can everywhere.
Can you talk a little bit about birds and water in Iowa?
There was so much drainage in Iowa from before the turn of the 19th and the 20th century. A lot of drainage started, and then through the 50s, 60s, 70s, so many wetlands were drained. And so we lost tons of water birds. We lost tons of ducks. We lost some rare shorebirds that people didn't know used to nest in Iowa. Now they just realize they nest up in Canada and places like that. But the fact is that since the late 1980s, Iowa DNR and many of the county conservation boards, with assistance from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, we've been able to start restoring many, many wetlands in the state. And that's bringing water birds back to Iowa. So we're seeing more and more ducks nesting in Iowa. We're actually seeing some rare shorebirds nesting in Iowa. And certainly using these wetlands and marshes at lakes for big migrating stopover points.
I think a lot of times when people think of water, they think of rivers and lakes, but you're saying the wetlands.
Every kind of water we have in Iowa, whether it's a lake, whether it's a marsh of some sort, whether it's rivers or small streams, they're just all so important to so many types of aquatic birds, yes. Once we can work with farmers and make them understand more about how they can farm the way they want to raise things, but still do a lot more to help wildlife and help clean our water. Yeah, farm those flat things that maybe aren't as important to wildlife as some of these marginal areas that we keep seeing plowed up and turned into farmland when they shouldn't be, because it's not great for production. It's not that great for the amount of production you get off those. It causes more water pollution problems, and it takes habitat away from wildlife. We need to realize how important Iowa is to our wildlife and natural resources, and protecting not only our water supplies, but the water supplies into the Mississippi River and the Gulf of Mexico. Yes.
Well, you know, we have this image of the geese going over.
Mark Edwards from Be Wild Rewild joined our conversation.
And there's the wildness and the sound and all that. And they've been going over lately a lot. Someone said, wow. You know, it's from a bird's view, we need to stretch our vision of what the world is. That's what we're kind of focusing on with the rewilding. And we felt like, you know, the East Coast and the West Coast has really focused on this for years. But they left out the whole Mississippi watershed, which is the bird place in the world, right? It's the biggest bird thing ever.
Yes, it absolutely is. The Mississippi Flyway is the largest bird migratory corridor in the United States. I mean, that's just how important it is. And you know, the birds, because they're flying, they see all the habitat below them. They know where they have to go. You know, if it's not here in Iowa, well, we're not going to stop there and you're not going to see us. That's what it gets down to.
Thank you, Doug. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're listening to Sprouts, radio from the grassroots, a weekly program bringing you local radio productions of global interest. I'm Stephanie Schubert, along with Ursula Rudenberg from Pacifica Network. Today, we are talking about the Mississippi watershed, a massive network of rivers flowing into the Mississippi. The network covers 40% of the United States. We began the program speaking with filmmaker Kelly Rundle about a film Kelly co-directed called Moved by Waters. The film follows people from different backgrounds who are all working to improve water quality. We also spoke with both Roger Ross Gipple and Mark Edwards from the Be Wild Rewild program about the meaning of big river connectivity. This conversation is one of many we are reporting on from the first annual Iowa Nature Summit, where local farmers and environmentalists are coming together to learn more about preserving the diversity of their state. Veterans of the environmental profession, Pat Schlarbaum and Mark Edwards, both retired from the Department of Natural Resources, and retired restoration ecologist Lauren Lown, are talking about their legacy of implementing this concept of core areas for wildlife that are connected in central Iowa around the city of Des Moines. Mark Edwards begins by explaining how the Ledges State Park captivated him when he was young, when his family moved there from the big city.
We moved from urban kind of lifestyle into rural Iowa and loved it. I would camp over the weekends, really comfortable out there alone, learning my plants and birds and what was around me. That was where it kind of started, and then graduated from college, and I ended up by the Des Moines River in a little cabin, and I'm still by that river valley 50 years later going, wow, what a place. Just up the road was Ledges State Park, and it led to my career in the Department of Natural Resources and trying to protect that place, which I had even deeper love growing all the time. So it's been an interesting journey. Here I am today, still feeling the same way I did. You know, I live in the most biologically altered state in North America, and yet I can't think of living anywhere else. Being on the front line is probably the most important place anyone can be. And I've given my life to understanding what that means.
The park where you mostly focus on was the Ledges State Park, which is along the Des Moines River in central Iowa.
Yeah, but I was running 6 and 7 crews across the state, and we were doing all kinds of ecosystem restoration, prairie management, that kind of stuff. And having visited Chautauqua area, it was a big thing for me.
Pat Schlarbaum, you worked for the Department of Natural Resources as well as Mark. You worked with the DNR's Wildlife Diversity Program, bringing back to Iowa various species of wild animals like bald eagles and the river otters.
Yeah, trumpeter swans and peregrine falcons and ospreys and sandhill cranes.
That's a really rich and beautiful legacy. In your work, you also saw the formation of Chautauqua Park near Des Moines.
Chautauqua is just a delightful place. It's in central Iowa on the Skunk River. Located in Polk County, the most populous county in Iowa. They've had a bond issue and made a choice to set tax money aside for wildlife. And that was a really astounding precedent. It's worth mentioning that the Chautauqua Wildlife Area is a county area, and there's another federal area just downstream called the Neil Smith Wildlife Refuge. It's all connected by the Skunk River. And we're linking a habitat associated with river corridors. And so we're trying to strengthen the corridors at every opportunity because these big core areas of Chautauqua and Neil Smith Wildlife Refuge are such a gift.
What kind of land is Chautauqua Park? Is it forest or prairie?
River bottom. They call it riparian. There are marshes, heavily timbered. They've attracted sandhill cranes. And we relocated the ornate box turtles, or threatened species here in Iowa, to Chautauqua. And now there's an area in Chautauqua that has ornate box turtles.
In my mind, it had always been potential of being better than any state park because it's not a destination like a recreation area.
Mark Edwards.
You know, it's a wetland kind of thing. It's otters and kind of inaccessible, and people just didn't pay attention to it. The large core area they're trying to save for itself. Right? You know, I would paddle down these streams and start seeing the flow of the water in through places like this. And that helped me lead to, you know, then looking at the watershed that it's set in and how do things connect and why is it so important as a bypass around Des Moines for a biological corridor so these species don't have to try to suffer through getting through downtown Des Moines to follow that river. And then that was where I met a lot of people. Lauren Lone was one of the first people that I could talk to about rewilding and core areas and corridors and all that kind of stuff. And he understood it. He knew rewilding. I mean, that was a big turning point for me to find other people that were thinking about the whole thing.
As a hydrologist, Lauren Lau understood water levels and potholes and rivers and all that sort of thing.
Patch Larbaum.
Great voice for the environment. And such a strong voice, not only for the environment, but for the people of Polk County. He was involved with a lot of the Chautauqua management decisions and talking with the farmers and working out agreements. And I'm sure he was very effective and yet cordial when it came to talking with the landowners to say, yeah, we'll sell our land to a conservation organization. And it's fantastic that now the citizens of Polk County have grown Chautauqua to over 9,000 acres now, and it continues to grow. And it is in the most populous county in Iowa. Also, they moved the highway.
Mark Edwards.
They moved the highway.
How did you convince them to move a highway?
A lot of public training. There was a shoal of a wetland just up the road from Chautauqua called Engeldigger Marsh.
Patch Larbaum.
And back, I guess, in the 20s, there was a road that went right through the middle of it. Well, that's how the Iowa DOT would make straight roads. It went right through the marsh. It angled from Des Moines to Marshalltown. And then, lo and behold, it was time to change a two-lane road to a four-lane. And I believe it was a matter of 50 feet. Or they tried to diminish it by saying that, well, we need to widen the road, and we'll just widen the right-of-way. And there were those of us that felt that the incessant carving away of our natural resources was one of our great challenges in Iowa. And maybe we should realize that the road should never have gone through the middle of this jewel of a wetland to begin with. Well, that was taken to the DOT, and, you know, that was hard for them to get their mind wrapped around. And then that was taken to the people, and so there was a public outcry.
The DOT said that they were going to expand Highway 65 through Engeldinger Marsh and four-lane it from Marshalltown to Des Moines.
Lauren Laun.
Because it was an unsafe road, and yes, it was. It was terribly unsafe, especially where it took a huge dip and rise going through that marsh. I mean, there were car parts in the ditch everywhere. And we agreed they needed a new road, but they said, well, we're just going to four-lane through here. It's not going to hurt anything. They asked if there's anything significant. Well, yeah. And we pointed out that this is a perched wetland on top of a hill 100 feet above the rivers, and we don't know what's there, so we need to survey it. So they said, fine, we'll survey it. Former state ecologist and his wife did a survey at the DOT's expense, and at the end of the survey, his report started off saying, Engeldinger Marsh is a geological and ecological museum. 340-some species of plants, mammals, reptiles. That didn't quite do it, and then we finally found a state endangered species in the right-of-way, and that finally did it, and they moved the road.
And what was the species?
Poanis massasoit. The mulberry-winged skipper.
And what is that?
A little bitty butterfly. That was the final straw. because, believe it or not, nobody builds a four-lane road without federal highway funds. And some of us knew about Section 4F of the Federal Highway Code that says that you shall not put a road through parkland unless there is no practicable alternative. And we proved that there was a practical alternative and that by putting the road there, it would harm state endangered species and biodiversity. And I think the federal highway just said, we're not funding it if you're going through there. They sided with nature.
So it was one of the first big, gigantic wins.
Mark Edwards.
Okay, we're going to get DOT to consider the biological integrity of a place is more important than moving that road over a little bit.
And it's a wonderful thing because it's a precedent.
Patch Larbaum.
And the people of Iowa are supporting these natural areas. And Be Wild, Rewild fits right in with their goals of habitat for wildlife as opposed to people. And corridors, and core areas, well, Chautauqua is a core area. So the corridor concept of linking Engeldinger Marsh with Chautauqua is strengthening both areas.
Go out to Engeldinger Marsh and sit and listen for a while.
Lauren Laun.
And it's amazing. The more you look, the more you see. You'll hear frogs, yellow-headed blackbirds, sandhill cranes, sedge wrens. Listen to the bird song. Listen to white oak trees sing back to you. The last time I sat out there, one log in one place for 6 days. In the mornings only, I sat down. I counted 47 species of birds as I sat on that log. This is comfort, just sitting on a log. I had coyotes walk by me. I've had turkeys walk by me. I saw a bobcat. As a child, I was lucky enough I had a really calm mother. She used to take us out and make us sit down beside her on a log in the woods and stay silent for a half an hour. My mother used to say, the birds will forget you're here after 15 minutes. Everything forgets you're here after a half an hour. I think that's one of the biggest lessons of my life. And I think my work with natural resources taught me to move slowly, look carefully, and be cautious about what I do.
When you sit and you take the time to actually listen to all these things, what is the thought or the feeling that you get from that?
I still marvel at the diversity and the wonder that still surrounds us, that so many creatures can make it despite what we've done to them.
So you're saying that what you get is a sense of wonder?
Yeah, going home, a peacefulness. It makes me happy. I belong there. I think people forget that we're animals. Our nursery was the wild.
That's it for Sprouts. You have been listening to The Mississippi Watershed, Connecting Water and People. This program was made possible by a grant from the Be Wild, Rewild program. Representing this group today are Roger Ross Gipple and Mark Edwards. More information about their work can be found at bewildrewild.org. Thanks to conservationists Patch Larbaum, Lauren Laun, and Doug Haar. Pat is retired from the Department of Natural Resources. Lauren is a retired restoration ecologist, and Doug is president of the Iowa Audubon Society. Thanks to Kelly Rundle from Fourth Wall Films, co-director and co-producer of the film Moved by Waters. More information can be found at fourthwallfilms.com. The first Iowa Nature Summit took place in October 2023 and was organized by Emeritus Professor of Law and founder of Drake University's Agricultural Law Center, Neil Hamilton. The summit was held at Drake University in Des Moines, Iowa. Information about the Iowa Nature Summits can be found at iowanature.org. We were the producers this week, Stephanie Schubert and myself, Ursula Rudenberg, from Pacifica Network. The Sprouts theme music is Torpedoes on Tuesday by Poison Control Center. Sprouts is a weekly program produced in collaboration with community radio stations and independent producers across the globe. The program is coordinated and distributed by Pacifica Radio. I am Ursula Rudenberg from Pacifica Network. Thank you for listening and see you next week on Sprouts.
I'm Molly, and you're listening to KBOO Portland.
Lie down, all in the ground, I'd root that mountain down, and I wish I was a mole in the ground.
Tune in to KBOO Monday mornings at 9 for the Old Mole Variety Hour, your source for radically democratic news, views, reviews, and interviews, stories of ordinary and extraordinary people working to root down the oppressive institutions of capitalism. That's the Old Mole Variety Hour, Monday mornings at 9.
Today on Wings, on October 24th, 1975, 90% of the women of Iceland walked out on strike. How'd that work out? Stay tuned.
There's a river of birds in my grave.